Municipal Utilities Commission to order on this Monday, June 26th. And we have Mr. Scott here, and Beth, you've taken attendance thus far. Okay, then I would look at someone to make the resolution, motion for the resolution to approve the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
Thank you. Then we'll open it to discussion, any additions to the agenda, and I guess we've kind of talked about that, how we'll handle that, as one of our commissioners does have to leave a little early today. The minutes from the June 12th meeting, and then looking at the payment of the bills. And there was a couple of things that I had asked about ahead of time. Was the one was for Scott's, for Mr. Scott's time. I forget that his firm is Flattery and Hood, so that was in the payments there. Then now on page 6 was the transmission move for Rice Hospital, and that is something that they pay for. It was moving a unit from one side to the other to allow for, so they can make more parking spaces by the hospital. What do I want to call it? What did you move?
They moved a transformer out.
Yes, fair. Right, I was going to say yeah. Generator, and I knew that wasn't right. Thanks.
And actually, Madam Chair, to expand on that a little bit, that's not all of the work. That $23,000 that you see there is slightly over half, and the entire bill is, including staff time, is reimbursable.
Okay. And then just some of the things under the that we had to pay, you know, three different areas, Department of Commerce, Department of Health, and the pollution control that we pay out. And then on the locating service, maybe you just want to give a quick little blip on that one, John, on page 9.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. One other item to note on that before we go down to USIC. On page 6, Canyon High County property taxes, typically we are exempt from paying property taxes unless the property is generating revenue. The dollar amounts you see there are special assessments that go along with those properties. With the exception of the two pram substations, we are renting that property out there so that we owe property taxes on those two parcels. However, as we move into the pram substation, we will file for an exemption on those two pieces. Then the lease farm, that's our property out there behind Menards. We rent that out. That's vacant ground. Our 69 transmission line goes over it. And then our Jerry's Liquor Store building also, that's rental property that we're holding for potential expansion here of our building. So we pay full property taxes on those parcels, and the rest of them are all just special assessments against the properties that we own or hold. And then USIC, that's on page 9. What you see there, you see some charges and credits. The charges were monthly bills that we were holding open to offset some of the damage claims that we had incurred over last summer's locating. And we have resolved our differences there, so we're straightening up with USIC. And USIC, they located our utilities from about 2014, Todd. 2013, we started at USIC, and we parted with them here March 1st of this year, and we went with a new locating company, locating services, because of some of the challenges we were having with their locating accuracy. So.
And that was the end of my questions. Any questions from commissioners here? Okay, hearing none, roll call, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Okay, I'll let you take it, John, regarding the City Council approval of decommissioning and that type of thing.
Okay. Item number 2, thank you, Madam Chair. I want to provide an update to the Commission on our district heating process. Commissioner Lemur and myself attended a City Council meeting to public hearings. There was no one in attendance at those meetings to speak in favor of or against the decommissioning or the financial assistance program. So at the end of the public hearing, the Council adopted two resolutions which are in your packet, finalizing the process. The resolutions have been submitted to deed, so that part of the process has been completed. The date is set for July 1st of 2020. So.
All right. Thank you, John. And next item on the agenda is the Planning Commission meeting, and I'll turn that over to Commissioner Mattern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Planning Committee did meet last Thursday, June 22nd at noon. The first item on our agenda was some information regarding the SCADA system update. This is our hardware and software system that's kind of the heart of operations over here at the utilities for all things related to electric and water and services that we provide. The particular system we're looking at is on a 5-year upgrade schedule, and so there's some pieces of hardware and a little bit of software that we're looking to upgrade with that. This is not the entire system, it's just a portion of the SCADA system that's being updated. We took a look at the information and the quotes that were provided by OSI. They're the organization that has been providing this service and system to us for the past number of years. And looking at the quote, there's a few things that I actually had pulled out and requested additional information on, some pieces of hardware that I had questions that looked like perhaps they were marking them up quite heavily, so I just wanted to get a little more clarification on that. And I believe Jaron will have a review for us or an update for us after I finish the minutes here. So our recommendation at that point was to hold off, make sure we get the answers to those questions, and then the recommendation from there, depending on what we hear back, will be to probably proceed with that agreement here at our next commission meeting. The next item on the agenda was an update on the Priam substation. And again, Jaron had updated us that DGR has completed the preliminary design for the substation, which is a good milestone, so we're glad to hear that. Project kickoff meeting has been scheduled for Wednesday, July 12th, and that's to review the design and construction plans, and we will be there as well as representatives from GRE, Excel, and DGR. From there, we'll coordinate with Excel to proceed with some of the necessary permits that are going to be required, and then we are looking at a target date to energize and bring that substation up online for June of 2019. So that's a target at this point. That information was for information only, and no action is required there. Item number 3 was a safety training, and our HR supervisor, Janelle Johnson, presented us with some information. Currently, we've been doing safety training through MMUA, and some of the information that we've seen there in terms of what we feel we need and moving forward that they just haven't been providing. We're looking to kind of take our safety training to the next level. And so Janelle and the safety committee has met with Ridgewater College and their customized training division and looked at putting together a customized plan for safety training out here, which would include more training hours and actually for a little bit less cost than what we're paying now. And after we reviewed that information, there was kind of the consensus of the planning committee that we go ahead and approve that contract as that comes up later today. And I should note that that contract does have a 30-day out if for whatever reason we're not satisfied or if it's not working for Ridgewater College. There's a 30-day out on both sides of that as well. So that's our recommendation there. Our final option or final item for discussion was a miscellaneous topic. We just requested an update on the stormwater project behind the power plant. That's something that due to some of the storm runoff and environmental issues that we were looking at doing last year, due to some issues with the contractor at the time that did not take place then. And as we know with some of the changes now with district heat and trying to forecast in the next discussion of what we do long term with that power plant, that particular project has been put on hold, at least for now. So that's the update there. With that, we did adjourn at 12:45. I would stand for any questions.
Commissioner Matter?
Yeah.
Just to expand a little bit on that stormwater, I followed up at the meeting. I indicated that John was reaching out to the agencies for their feedback, whether we need to complete that project or if we can leave it on hold. And we're still waiting for responses back from them. So upon their response, we'll determine whether we need to proceed or if we can put that project on the shelf. So
thank you for the update. But, Madam Chair, I would offer a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion made and second to accept the planning committee meeting minutes. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. And as part of the subset underneath that is the open system, the OSI proposal. And it says that we'll continue that at our next meeting. Was there anything other than that that you wanted to say about that at this time?
Not at this time.
Madam Chair, perhaps if Jaron is prepared, do you have an update on some of the hardware information that you'd be able to provide today?
Commissioner Mattern, I can follow up on that a little bit. After the planning committee, I did reach out to OSI, and they are willing to split up the hardware from the software and implementation on their quote. And so they'll list the hardware items as options, and we can choose whether we want to purchase those or not, so we can get competitive quotes on the actual hardware itself. One item specifically was the uninterruptible power supply that we questioned the pricing on that. I did notice that they updated the price portion of it, but they didn't get an accurate description of that item. So rather than a 3,000 kVA backup battery, they actually want a 4,000 kVA. And then there's a modular kind of hot swappable battery pack that goes with that. And so the pricing on that is a lot more closely related to what they quoted. They just had the wrong description in there. But once I get the updated quote back, we'll present it to you, and hopefully we can act on that at the next commission meeting.
Thank you, Jaron.
Okay, well, sounds good. Thank you for that report there, Jaron. And then, as Commissioner Mattern said, that for the safety training, that they're looking for approval of the contract with Ridgewater College to provide the safety training, and that requires a resolution, and so I would entertain a motion for the resolution of the comprehensive safety training for our employees through Ridgewater College.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any further discussion on that? Hearing none, all.
Carol, the contract with, do we have a contract with MMUA for training right now, and has that been notified, cancel it, or?
Yes. Currently, we are under contract with MMUA, and that contract expires on September 30th. And so we do have the start date on this contract as being October 1st. So we will fulfill MMUA's contract.
Okay.
Questions? Okay, then Beth, I'll let you take roll call.
Certainly. Please. Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And then next item on here is the energy acquisition adjustment, and that's your turn, Chris.
Thank you. Okay, so the EAA, the Energy Acquisition Adjustment, has been updated through April of 2017. And you can see the collected amounts for each month in column 15. And those are the actual collected amounts. Below that in tan are the projections through the end of 2017. And then the other data shown in black, they have formulas in them. So each month as it's updated, those numbers will automatically change. So, so far we have collected $450,326. And just a reminder that summer energy costs are typically higher than the rest of the year. So we do lose some ground on the graph, as you can see on the graph for last June, July, and August. So there's always a lag between, you know, you would almost think that we could give you a report through May, but closing of the month takes time because, for one thing, we've got to wait for all of the invoices to come in for the previous month. So that's why there's a lag there. So any questions?
No. it's looking good, but like you say, through the summer, we may fall back a little bit, not quite meet our estimate on that. Okay, any others on questions on that at this time? Commissioner Holt just arrived to maintain our quorum. So that'll be good as we go along here. And again, that was for our information. Then next to, thank you, Chris, sorry. For information, the power outage report, and we'll let Todd give us that report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In accordance to our Section H of our Reliability Performance Report, we'll give an update on the sustained damages on June 11th from the storm. We, approximately 7:14 a.m. Sunday, June 11th, we lost 10 poles along the College View area on County Road 5, and the crews were dispatched, and they did some field switching, got most of the customers back on, and they isolated the down power lines, and then they got the rest of the customers back on with some additional field switching and that, and we went back and later replaced the poles and that. In addition to that, we had a private tree out on one of our other feeders out by Farm Service Elevator that blew into our power line, and that knocked the substation out by Jenny O, and they were out for probably an hour to 2 hours. They patrolled the line and stuff, and we got that back on. So there is another 121 customers on that line, along with Genio's main plant. So.
Okay, well, sounds you moved right along and got people going. And it's just a minor crisis. So that was a couple of workshops I went to that report on a little bit, but that was good. During that time when you were going out, were you in contact at all with customers as to what you were doing?
Yeah, I went out to Jenny O and talked to them, and I patrolled the line and stuff, because when something happens like that, we aren't sure where it is, and we've got to patrol the lines before we just have them energize everything, so we don't want to make sure no vehicle or anything or a tree is still in the line and everything is clear, and that takes some time doing that. And you know, meanwhile, we had crews up where the poles had fallen over and knocked down the wires and everything. So in order to get everybody back on, we had to cut the lines down and then temporarily tie a truck to hold the last pole that was standing before we could energize the rest of the line. And then they had some other field switching to do to get some other customers on another feeder and that. So it's time-consuming.
Yeah,
safely.
And I know that's one of the couple of different workshops I'd gone to, how they said that communication piece, how important that is, and also looking at your social media, because that can make it worse or it can make it better. So doing those kinds of things. Again, thank you and your crew for what you did that day and during the week to get everything back up and going.
Madam Chair, before you move on, I'd also like to thank everybody that worked on that day. It was I went out to the college to check on it, and I had senior crews were already out there, so thank you. Just one question, it might be more for whoever wants to answer it. Is that a line that we're considering for underground eventually, or is that something we can't move to underground?
It's one of our main feeder lines,
okay.
And if storm damage, it takes a lot less time, to get them back up. If it's underground, you don't have storm damage, but there's a lot of other added costs when you tap off, because you need a more expensive switch and everything, whereas overhead lines are a lot more inexpensive, and
okay.
It's it's not always economical to put everything underground,
Just thought I would check, as long as we were down there and need to repair.
That's a good question.
Say, Todd, for commissioners' information, do you want to give a real quick high-level overview of what we have underground? Basically, 95%, 98% of residential and commercial, our feeders are overhead.
Yeah.
The bulk of them, about 90% of our feeders are overhead.
And that is, the reason for that is because of the cost issue involved in that. If you have an overhead line and you have a three-phase customer that wants to build a substantial load there, you can put a three-phase riser over and you can put that riser underground. But if you have them underground, you have to put an expensive switch there in order to take that three-phase out of that area, you know, to supply their transformer. And some of them switches are, you know, like $20,000-$30,000 in that ballpark. And, you know, it's harder to sectionalize and everything like that. So, and it's a lot more inexpensive to put our feeders overhead for that reason. And some of the more congested areas, like you know, downtown, they're underground because you just don't have room to put overhead,
right,
which it is more costly to do it originally. And some of the areas we're running into, a lot of our feeders are aged, the ones that have been underground for mm-hmm. every year.
Right.
It's extensive money to replace those feeders.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
So always a pros and cons to varying it, isn't it? Thanks again, Todd. Mm-hmm. And then we'll let Jared speak to the wind turbine report.
All right, so the May wind turbine report is in line with past years. We generated 598,108 kilowatt hours. Availability was great on number 4, 99%, and pretty good on number 3, 94%. So it's just a matter of waiting for Mother Nature to increase production, that sort of thing. But it looks like, even as far as the year goes, we're pretty much in line with past years.
Okay. Any questions of Jared? Okay, thank you very much for that report, for your substituting in for John today. Then we'll go to the general manager's report. And as you can see, the first thing on that underneath there is the national conference recap. And I'm going to give you a brief one because I'm sure that Zach and Nate would want to hear about it all and know all the details of what went on. So what, I'm just going to give a brief report on it, and then I've asked Beth that my condensed version from the notes that I took at the meeting, she'll just email those out to you for a little bit more detail rather than droning on about it here today. The conference started out on, I got there on Sunday afternoon. The first thing was the Women in Public Power reception, and that consisted of managers, commissioners, vendors, and staff from there as well. It was interesting to see the number of women. It's slowly creeping up in there. Then there was a welcome reception that was, and I attended that, and there were several from Minnesota with that. The PAC breakfast was next. Representative Daniel Webster from Florida spoke, and he seems to be a very informed representative, and as one person said, he truly is a statesman because he understands the kind of bargaining back and forth that has to be done in order to get something accomplished. Greg Lee opened the conference. He's our board chair for APPA, and the one thing that he said that stuck in my mind is, remember us as Moonies, we please Moon Street, not Wall Street. So that was my takeaway on his. Then Sue Kelly, who's the CEO of APPA, she reviewed the past year and going forward. One of the things was there's prepare for more state and local environmental issues, is what she feels that we're going to see coming up, and address how important lobbying is, and you know that we do some of that. And the thing that she said that Senator Dirksen had stated, as far as when you're talking with congressmen and that type, when I feel the heat, I see the light. So again, speaks to the value of lobbying being done, is there's enough pressure put on them, they do react to it. And there was, you know, other things there, but I'll let that be in the written report. Nina Easton, she's a Washington columnist, spoke next and discussed how political issues are affecting influences in Washington, D.C., and then throughout the country and around the world. And she said, as far as the economy, the middle class is shrinking. It's less than half of the U.S. population. and the economy populism, populism, I can't say that right word right there. Anyway, what she sees in that is what she has seen, that they are attacking the rich, looking for entitlement reform for Social Security and Medicare, free trade renegotiations being done, tax reform, and the distrust of elites. So from her perspective of what's happening in Washington. And she saw the opportunity for public power is thought leaders and training workers to be innovative and coming up with ideas and not just following along. Give them the chance for that. And one of the questions that came up was, how do we make a difference? And she said, get out for the primaries, because that's one area where, you know, hardly anybody goes to those. So then how do you get a good congressman to run for office if you don't get the right people even at the primaries? And then just because I had to eat, I did have lunch poolside. Don't let that bother you too much. It was very nice to begin with. And all of a sudden, they're hustling everybody in. The dark clouds came and the rains came, and they never stopped until I went home on Wednesday. One of the first sessions I went to was DIY, do-it-yourself, promoting public power. And there they talked about different events that you could be. One of them is, you know, letting people know what's going on. Then there's three different people spoke about what they did in their utilities, and one of them was parades and how you can work that to your advantage again in communities. And I thought a little check mark for Wilmer Municipal Utilities when they participated in the holidays parade. That was a first for them, so that was, I felt good about that. And the next one was empowering education in schools, different things that you do. One was that they had worked with a professional curriculum and put it for whatever grade that you wanted to. And another one was just specific for fifth graders, working with them doing an education program in their school. And again, you teach them about safety, you teach them about reuse, reduce, that type of the recycling things, and then also get them that first little bug to think about working for a utility company, so using it as that. And then during the question and answer, when we ask how do you provide information or who to, and those three participants said educating your city council is a big thing because of when you're under them, that they need to know an overview of what you're about, especially when there's new members that come on. And then orientation for new members, and then APPA has monthly themes that can be used in your newsletters if you so choose. And then, let's see, I don't have that one. Amy Myers Jaffe spoke on what if the U.S. becomes energy independent, and she talked about how technical changes, technology is really revolutionizing the change in the competitive landscape within the energy business. And also, I found that interesting that fund investors, especially if people with money, say once they've retired and where they're investing it, and putting it into clean energy renewables, not in foreign energy markets. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And that solar prices are going to become more competitive. That was the end of Monday, and then started on Tuesday with awards being presented to several attendees, and they're all listed in the book that they had sent out and will be online as well. And then Thomas Barnett talked about our future planet, the shaping forces, and he wore his mic and he walked all around us. A little bit, when you're listening to a speaker, a little bit difficult, you know, instead of just looking at one, you know, kind of looking where the speaker is, you never knew where in what part of the room he was going to be. He's quite the speaker. And he talked, the big thing that he talked about is that globalization accelerates everything, and that 75% of the world mass has been transformed by humans. So again, how much control do we have of what's going on and that type of thing? And talked about vertical integration. You know, we always think about things going east to west type of thing. And he said there are, and he had many, many graphs to show that it's much more of a north-south, and talked about where the U.S. is and Mexico and Canada, that we're in a really good position for getting our oil and that type of thing, and become less dependent on other people, becoming more independent. And said that water is going to be the most important resource going forward. And one of the tidbits was that Asia has 60% of the population, but only 13% of the water. And again, the North, South Americas have much more water than what the other countries in Europe do. And of course, he has three books that he's written, and so of course, he didn't have them there, but they always make sure that you know that they've written books. He was a wasn't my favorite speaker. Anyways, when he did show any of these things that are going on, then he would always do, he'd give the information, and then he would put up Trump effect, what would potentially happen currently with our president. And I guess that was the part that bothered me. It was always a Trump effect, and he obviously wasn't in favor of Trump, but the lack of respect to call, you know, to the president and the administration effect. Okay, that's my little editorial sneaked in there between. And then I went to the capacity markets call for reform. And just a couple things. The performance of capacity performance has to be a 24/7 ready at all times. There's new performance regulations that are coming out, and it feels that capacity prices will go up in that session that I attended. And there's a few other things that I'll just, again, put that in writing for you. And then the other one I went to, the other next session was Storm Stories, Lessons Learned. And they talked about, and this one was with Hurricane Matthew back in 2010, I think it was. And there was three different people that presented, but the one thing that stuck with me was to begin with, make sure that you have checklists for pre-season, pre-storm, what you're doing during the storm, and then the post-storm, what you've learned from that. And some of the lessons learned, again, those are, you know, follow the plan, but be flexible, keep your operations 24/7, minimize time down in public places. And he said they needed more all-terrain vehicles because it wasn't, when that hurricane, it wasn't the hurricane damage, but it was the water afterwards that caused them the trouble. And the next speaker in that session was for the Hurricane Hermine in Tallahassee, and she said it was a bad situation because they didn't pay close enough attention to their social media and blogs that were starting, and they really kind of had a lot of negative things coming out, so she couldn't emphasize enough about social media can be your friend or can be really a bad enemy at the time. But that hurricane that was in Tallahassee, then the governor lived there, and of course it's capital of the state, so there was a lot of the political ramifications with that. And there again, they talked about different lessons to learn, and one of them that they said is always make sure you have your mutual aid agreements in place. Again, so you have to document that for FEMA. In a little sidebar on that, she said that she says that FEMA believes that FEMA is going to be limited in what they can provide for help for people, and so more documentation is going to be needed, like every receipt, everything that you do, in order to turn in for expenses for people and to acknowledge that there's been enough damage so FEMA can come in and address that I'll take a breath, give your ears a rest a minute, and Commissioner Madden is leaving at this time, and we thought we're going to be short for enough commissioners, but Commissioner Holtz has here, so we have enough for a quorum today. Okay, just for that lady said that about pole attachments, making sure that where do you prioritize those if you have those in your town or in your city, that what's in writing, she suggested again put it in writing, and remembering communication needs to be timely, truthful, and frequent. And then there was a panel of presenters for the future, and it consisted of someone from Walmart Global Solar Organization and the division manager for the utilities in Denton, Texas, and then the president and CEO of Omaha Public Power District. And so there was questions that went back and forth with them, and again, I'll just put those in notes, but how from each one of those talked about they're going to working towards 100% renewable energy for running their town, and for Walmart is going to go working towards 50% at this time. So that was quite interesting. Of course, these are huge cities, but it's always, you never know when the smaller ones are going to come. And they gave some details on, you know, the different, where the Walmarts are listed in the different cities as well. And then the last, then there was an annual business meeting that I went to, and I hopefully did a Wilmer Municipal Utilities proud. I didn't stand up and disagree with anything. I voted all right along party line for all the resolutions and the election of directors at that. And then on Tuesday night, they had a little social afterwards. That was good, some good music that was playing. Unfortunately, Gimpy here couldn't get out there and dance, so, but it was fun visiting with people anyway. And then on Wednesday morning, we had the chairman's breakfast and the installation of the new board chair, and then Kirk Leipold, he's a former commander of USS Cole. He spoke on leadership in a crisis. His ship was one that was, while they were refueling in Yemen and at the port there, they had a suicide boat. I don't know what he used for terminology. Anyway, hit the side of their ship and put a hole in there 40 by 45 feet. So it was a big one. And they had pictures to show what the galley looks like when it's right, and when it was afterwards, it was just a mangled mess, and how they were able to stop that water, and they were in port there for 17 days, and there was 37 that were people injured, and 17 people were killed in men that were died. And he was just excellent, and he has again that leadership in a crisis, and leaders, you know, very first thing is staying calm and focused on what you're doing, and then put the plan into effect. And you need, as a leader, you need to stick with that and going forward, and how they were able to stop the water. And he showed a picture of where this water was coming in at 25 gallons a minute. The water was coming into the ship, and he said, and we use the technology of, you know, 2017 and beyond, and it showed here they had like gunny sacks and wedges stuck all in, put those two pieces in to keep it from leaking around. So, but how important, you know, the pictures that they did. He was an excellent speaker, and as he told about everything that happened on the ship, how he related it to in utilities, what, you know, things, how the leadership counts and what you would do with it, and then going forward, an excellent. And his book is Front Burner, and I'm looking to see if our library got that, because I was really impressed by his talk. So that's it, and I think I'm overdue on our agenda here again, but it wasn't. Again, I always say thank you for any of our customers that are out there and listen to this, and thank you to the utilities and commissioners for allowing me to go to this. There's some things in here, and I shared with John at this point just a couple of things, you know, going forward on my written report that could be used. Okay, now, John, I will let you take... Oh, no, I take that back. I want to do one more thing here before he does that. Now, I just might have to bring my thing up. Here is talk about... It's a little further down on the report there, is the employee recognition and the RP3 Diamond designation. It's also National Safety Month, and we're having here on Thursday the 29th from 11:45 to 1 p.m. The recognition of the folks that have worked here for quite a while, and I would just like to give them recognition at this time, pre that day. And it's Chris Carlson, 10 years, Brian Hoover, 20 years, Tom Leenstra, 20 years, Gwen Lipinski, 30 years, Joel Reuter, 35 years, Lois Nelson, 40 years, and Nancy Lahn, 40 years. So again, congratulations to all the, those employees for the number of years that they have put in. And thank you again for your service that you do and for your longevity. That speaks well to the management here, as well as them enjoying their jobs so they're not looking somewhere else again. Thank you very much. Now, I will turn it over to you, John. Right.
Thank you. As Commissioner Lamer noted, lobbying, there's a benefit to it. A second bullet on the general manager's report alludes to the fact that Representative Colin Peterson has signed on to the opposition of privatization of the PMAs. Last meeting I indicated that Senator Klobuchar and Franklin was opposing that concept, and we have Colin Peterson as well. So all our federal representatives are on board to oppose that part of President Trump's budget proposal for privatization of the transmission line. On your iPads, if you take time to look at your SWOT analysis, we've updated the newest version that has been completed. We incorporated all the input from the commissioners at the last meeting when we reviewed that, or last time we reviewed our strategic plan. So the strategic plan has been uploaded, and staff will continue to work towards addressing those items that have been indicated as high priorities for the commission to complete. So we'll continue with our quarterly updates on the progress of those action items. Reminder that this week, Friday, we have, I believe it's Friday, June 30th, a commission meeting. We have our consultant from Corolla, Vince Hart, will be here to give an update on the status of our water treatment plant design. A lot of work's gone into it. It's come a long ways, and it'll be an interesting update. We're pulling into it the chloride or salty discharge on the city side, what we can do to address that, and how close we can get to addressing those challenges without going to a water softening plant. So more to come. City, Vinny's going to be in town all morning. We're meeting with the city in the morning to talk about our report. The city and Donahue, they're consulting engineering firm that designed the wastewater treatment plant. They're presently reviewing our preliminary findings and modelings of how we can potentially get there. And we'll meet in the morning, and at noon, update to our planning committee on the progress. And other than that, unless there's questions, I have nothing further to add with the general manager's report.
In that meeting on Friday, it's a planning committee meeting along with that person.
Planning committee meeting, and our consultant from Corolla, Vince Hart, will be here.
Okay.
To go through the preliminary design, preliminary report.
And has that been published? Because if the planning committee is here, and if I would want to show up for it, it would put us over. So
that it would, that if you were to attend, there'd be a quorum.
We have a quorum there at that point in time, and it's not published.
I'll just go by what you tell me then, rather than attending that one.
As we, Madam Chair, continue with the process of designing our water treatment plant, as big as an item as that is, and the costs associated with it, once we move into the final design, it'd probably be beneficial for a work session to address it with the commission as a whole once we complete the next step on it.
Good idea. Okay. Is there anything else? Any questions from anyone?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Due to the absence of Commissioner Mabou, Secretary Mabou, could you please assign an acting secretary for the meeting?
Sure. Ross or Bruce, who wants to raise their hand?
Sure to do it. Yeah.
Okay. I appoint Bruce as acting secretary in the absence of Secretary Mabou.
Thank you.
Got that done, and enough people here. Anything else to come before the commission today? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned.
Dan, thank you for helped out.